Welcome everyone to the Sphinx Call in Buddhas and Butterflies. We are kicking off our final round, and as we head into this round, working with transforming fear into its natural, healthy role, which is that of practical action meant to support you in taking aligned action. In a way, we can think of fear as like the messenger that says, maybe you want to pause. Maybe you want to do that. Whatever the message is, it helps us to reevaluate, to think something through in a moment. Oh, I said one more person coming in. And for today's call, as we turn our attention that direction, I'm going to invite you to begin here how we do by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. Drinking in life. And embracing all that's here. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to just simply drink in and savor what feels pleasant, what feels useful, what feels simply neutral. And on that note, I invite you to scan your environment, looking outward or inward, whatever feels right for you. Letting your senses go for a little bit of a wander, go for a bit of a tour. And as they do so, checking out all the things that are nice, useful, beautiful, pleasant to be with, or potentially simply neutral. And then letting your gaze, your inner gaze, land on one of those things in particular, landing on one thing in particular. And appreciating all that you enjoy about it, whether it's the shape, the size, the color, the thing that it reminds you of, or perhaps your internal and you're working with the time in which you felt most like yourself or a body part. Savoring, drinking in, and just simply letting yourself be imbued by these qualities. Almost like you could breathe with them in a way that lets your body steep in them. And the question is, what happens as you let yourself steep? What happens as you let yourself drink in this beauty? How does the body respond? And taking time to savor all that feels good here. And as you continue to hang out here, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that created them, the lineage that's held it all. And thank you, thank you, thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that we rest upon, that we walk upon, that we breathe, journey, live upon, that nourish us, that nourish those that came before, that nourish those that are yet to arrive. And thank you, thank you, thank you for the essence of you. We ask that today's session honor all of your intentions in ways that serve you, your true essence, your families, your ancestors in this world. May it ripple through into the ethers, allowing a little bit more lightness to be before you on your path as you walk, in ways that that lightness can't help but radiate out into your communities. To all that you encounter in this world, and to those areas that are seemingly untouchable, yet somehow energy can radiate through into those little niches, crevices, crooks, crannies. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your session today. Okay, so it's actually coming up to work with a fear of things falling apart, fear of dissolution. That might show up as like a fear of losing your mind, a fear of losing a relationship, a fear of losing a job, a fear of losing a connection, or anything else in between. It may show up as a fear of even aging and a sense of like things are getting lost in there. Whether that's the body or the mind, anything in between. Interestingly enough, we're linking this into the kosha that divides the soul and the spirit. In the old stories and myth, they say that there's like this connection, there's this thread. Often it's symbolized as a red thread that's wrapped around each and every one of us, connecting us to the very source point from which we came. And that red thread, in essence, is also creating the kosha, the division between soul and spirit. As we work with the fear that's here, that fear of loss, that fear of being lost, the fear of not being found again. It makes sense at this level, as well as if we translate it into day-to-day life where that's showing up. It may be showing up in this space, in this place. On the other side of things, the red thread side of things, there can be a fear of literally losing yourself by merging into that which is seemingly bigger than you, but which is also still you. Paradox can be tricky to talk in these realms. And there's this sense of grasping, clinging, avoiding that dissolution out of that fear. Out of that fear of, I don't know what would happen if I did that. I don't know what would happen if I surrendered into that fear and let myself go through the. I almost think of it as like a blender or a washing machine cycle, almost like a little mini cyclone. Of how that might stir up our lives and where we might get spit out on the other side of that. It becomes this whole unknown process. And there was one point in time in which you had this prominently presence. Every single human had this presence when they were going through the birth canal. And they had no idea what was on their side. And yet life events supported them. Life events and the genius, the intelligence that's interwoven through each and every one of us just by simple means of being alive, not because you had to do anything or earned it or cultivated it or made a skill out of it, but because you are inherently a genius with the very life force running through each and every one of you. There was that support. In body talk, we sometimes refer to it as innate wisdom. Yeah, there's just an automatic knowing, an automatic internal guidance system. And the same way that that guidance system was there supporting you through the birth canal, so too does it support you when you dissolve into the ethers, into the beyond, into any and all processes that are considered to be in the realm of death or letting go. And this fear of loss can also be extended into fear of death itself. And to work with it in the body right now, we're going to work with the liver meridian and the crown of the head. It almost looks like a stormy thundercloud and lightning bolts coming out of it, but it's also creating, in the storminess, fogginess. It's creating like a brain fog. And it may have been there so long, it actually becomes something that's, although creating issue, it becomes almost like its own internal sense of security or safety blanket, because that's what's been known. And the crown chakra, as we connect it all into that crown chakra, which brings in transcendence, helps us to be able to go beyond the known in a way that gets to this time, unlike maybe other periods of time, gets to happen from a calmer, stable, guided from the inside, internally guided place that is deeply, well, let me put it this way. The guide itself that's internalized in there is calm. And as we access its consciousness by means of working with this crown chakra to help transcend the fear that's there, we begin to access and come into alignment with what the guide inside of you already knows to be true. That you're on an adventure, and wherever it goes is meant to support your evolution. And it might mean you have to let go of the old for that to happen. So I invite you to notice, I'm going to invite you to notice what's around the crown of your head, and even just below that, almost like a band, you know, where they wear like the cheesy workout headbands in the 80s videos? Well, that's where my head is flashing to, is the 80s. I know we've worn them there in other periods of times. The hippies are in there as well. And the band that goes all the way around, it's like the demarcation from here on up. And in here as well is the fear of not just losing your mind, but the fear of losing any and all connection to stability of the known, which can feel kind of crazy making. It can feel kind of like you're pushing your own limits in ways that you're not even sure, maybe even healthy at times. And as we work with this connection to the guide that has that sense of calmness underneath it all, we're gonna run a couple of things. I can see like three or four things that are all trying to come through at the same time. So I'm just asking them to, they're just taking a moment to decide amongst themselves which one wants to go first to support the optimal priority of addressing this. Okay, we're gonna start with lymphatic drainage through the crown of the head. I'm gonna include the headband on up as the crown of the head for right now, as well as down through the spinal column for the limbic brain, for the emotional brain. We're going to run a cellular repair and connect it into the heart's consciousness of harmony, restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health in a way that organizes them around a central unifying quality of harmony to further support that running hydration through the limbic brain, helping the cells take in water and joy and to flow, to release any impurities that are no longer necessary to be here. And those impurities in this case are carrying any sense of personal identification, any sense of this is happening to me. And that personal identification is a habit that we're taught repeatedly, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute of our whole lives. So it's quite the habit pattern to overturn. And it's no mistake that we have an energy center right in the center of that crown chakra that works with releasing habits. Those habit patterns are thought to be stored in the myelin sheath, the coating of the nervous system, the coating of the nerves. And as we work with the coating of the nerves, we can think of the nerve is being swaddled in the blanket or in a jacket or in a coat with that myelin sheath, and then imbuing a sense of comfort, containment, and guidance all at the same time. And through this into the particularly the limbic brain, the myelin that surrounds those nerves, which is thought to be present more so in the peripheral nervous system. So I am working through this somewhat metaphorically. And as we work with it around the sense of the limbic brain, the emotional brain, it's giving that same essence of containment, same essence of comfort. Again, like it's swaddled in a blanket. And for whatever reason, I see the blanket as heart-shaped, carrying the consciousness of love. Awareness of love and being able to register it. Whether it's from another human being or whether it's from a source itself, the natural world, which reflects all of it all, or anything in between. And as we ground and contain and support the limbic brain in being centered through this quality of love, we're linking it right into the same consciousness of the heart, working with harmony. And running the permissions. It's safe to be here as I am. It's safe enough to be here as I am. Linking into the navel for centeredness, as well as down into that perineal body that we've worked with for the last while, which is in the center of the perineum, which is where the precursor to the spinal cord kind of devolves into, because we actually don't carry our notochord forward into life. As we develop, we have our spinal cord that takes its place. So the precursor, it shrinks down into this perineal body. And this is your center. As we align the limbic brain with the heart's consciousness and the centering the heart carries, along with the centering of the navel and the centering of the perineal body alike, it becomes almost like its own stabilizing force, just simply to be centralized. Running a cellular repair on the external lining of the entire limbic brain and what divides it from the cortical brain. And in that space between these two brains, it's almost like at times there's not adequate communication, due to either too much space or too much buildup of clutter. For some of you, you might even have both at the same time, depending upon which subpersonality is at the helm of the wheel. It can go back and forth quickly enough that you can have both present at the same time. So for the space in between, running circulation of all the healing resources and bringing in connection, bringing in nourishment, and bringing in almost like the comfort of a mom, the comfort of a really healthy maternal figure, to bring the cortical brain, the mother, into the realm of the limbic brain, in this case, the child or even the infants. And this circulation, this flow, is almost like a reminder that brings the two of them into contact again. And in doing so, releases the inflammation of the limbic brain, releases the agitation as the comfort of the cortical brain and its steadfast reliability can supportively allow for this little one to rest into. And the beautiful thing is, it just doesn't need to be perfect for this to work really well. So those healing resources are bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve that carries our communication, Lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, and help the whole body mind to heal. Also balancing the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection, and bringing in hydration once again, helping the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And as these parts of the brain begin to establish a healthy connection, healthy comforting, healthy organizational hierarchy, we're also supporting, like in every, well, I'm not a parent, but I imagine that as you parent, that your children teach you and you grow and you evolve along the way. In the same way, the limbic brain, the emotional brain, is imbuing what it's learning into the cortical brain. And as it seeps in harmony, as it seeps in being centered, as it receives the comfort to really navigate that well, the cortical brain begins to also receive that same influence, that same awareness, understanding, the same consciousness of being centered in harmony. And in other words, as the cortical brain offers it to the limbic brain receives it and offers it right on back to the cortical brain. And it creates an upward spiral that creates a center for ease, healing, and in a way of exponentializing all of our gifts and strengths and powers, begins to allow for that thriving beyond the survival. And as we steadfast the brain in these ways, that fear of loss, where we once began this session, begins to somehow be reorganized in a way that allows for the fear that's in the pancreas, in particular the tail of the pancreas. It does hang out actually a little bit more on the right side of the body, kind of where the sphincter of. Sphincter is always a fun word, isn't it? Where the gallbladder bile duct and the pancreatic duct alike, they enter into the small intestine. So we're working right around that area just before it hits into the small intestine for that side of the pancreas. And I see the pancreas, which is meant to have an energy field that is sort of six-pointed starfishy. Out to it's meant to radiate that sweetness, and we talk about this in body talk more so from a balancing left and right standpoint, and in part it does so by actually balancing not just left and right, in like if we can ex how do I want to say that, if we could sort of expand upon that and metaphorically take a few liberties along the way as we do so, the six-pointed starfish is balanced with the three components on the right-hand side with the three components on the left-hand side. So there's two arms, two legs, there's a tail and a head. We might even imagine the tail and the head somehow develop into initially from two pieces and become one. So that way there's a directionality of the head, the right arm, the right leg, and the right side of the tail, and the left side of the head, the left arm, the left leg, the left side of the tail. I recognize that I'm extending from six into sort of like eight, taking a bit of a liberty there. And as we work with this, essentially balancing as the pancreas is meant to, from an embryological development standpoint, at one point in time, you were actually nothing more than a starfish. And those were the only movements you could make. You could move in those six directions, and that was it. And that consciousness is still carried deeply within the pancreas, which is in that area, just behind the navel, a little higher up, but in this case, again, taking some liberties. So the essence of finding harmonious balance is happening not just between balancing all things left and right side, but intricately balancing those directionalities to allow for you to move in directions that the spine can take you in certain places. If we move our bodies from the back body, if we would be coming from our spine. And there's a different way that we move our bodies if we were coming from the front body, which allows for, again, more of that starfish action to happen. And this is all happening all the time, well below the level of awareness for most of us as we move our bodies. So in essence, as we work with this consciousness in a more mindful way, and you're welcome to take that on for homework if you like, you might even imagine right now there's a six-sided starfish in your pancreas or in the very center of your solar plexus, if that's easier. And then we might imagine that its energy can radiate equally in all six directions in ways that lighten your load, in ways that'll actually create space for you to take in the sweetness of life. And pancreatic energy is meant to also, as we mentioned, go up to the head. I see it right now as, in particular, working with that directionality, linking the sweetness of being alive all the way to the very crown of the head. And with that, I see the entire right side and all of its energetic components from that right starfish almost melt. Not in essence of like losing, like in collapsing, but melting their stress, their tensions, that way they can have, again, more fluidity, more capacity to navigate life, more resiliency. And as the right side loosens up, it releases rigid ideas held around how active you need to be in order for things to change. So as the right side's unwinding, it's actually beginning to release rigidity around your preconceived ideas of how hard you had to work, if I was to simplify that. And here we're going to further support that with a permission statement. You have nothing to compensate for. You have nothing to compensate for. Then we're releasing the habit of compensating, again, from the myelin sheath that surrounds the nerves that go all the way out into the arms, the legs, all the way out to hand and foot, all the way down to the tailbone, and all the way up to the crown of the head, all the way through that right side. And on that right side of your starfish, it's also releasing through here, all the way through that pancreas solar plexus region. And as it lightens up, it's almost like the body has the capacity, although still on Earth, to take flight. And you may internally, as you lighten the load, begin to internally soar, fly in directions that weren't as accessible before. To support that, we're unwinding the tension around the diaphragm. And in doing so, releasing this belief, releasing the essence of feeling betrayed by life in a way that led to, then I have to do something about that. I have to work hard to control that. I have to work hard to, you get the idea, make something happen that's different than what's happening. And as we release that, we're also bringing in the awareness, the consciousness. I'm going to say it as a permission statement. Innocence and purity require no protection. Pardon me, I'm going to say this slightly different. Innocence and purity have built-in protection, meaning they don't actually need anything else to protect. They don't need any rigidity to protect it. That innocence and purity, because of their vulnerable nature, are inherently supported from the inside out. Meaning they don't necessarily require any additional protection from you inside of your bodies right here, right now. And I'm going to suggest the habitual protection was overworking to the point where it didn't actually allow for your natural innocence, your natural pureness to shine forth all the layers of protection, shut it down to the point where it may have even become invisible from you. Just coming into contact with that again, linking that through to the right brain, your feminine brain, and down to the left foot, the feminine connection to the earth, also feminine. And I just simply see you deeply held in the arms of your own feminine nourishment and all the feminine nourishment that exists in our world around us, that's running through us, that's present in your very breath, that animates and oxygenates every single cell, distributing this feminine nourishment all the way through you, letting yourself simply rest in this and receive this as the feminine is want to do. As the feminine deepens into receiving in these ways, the masculine becomes more fueled inherently to offer its activity, to offer its, to offer not quite protection, but it's the sense of stability, the sense of I'm here, almost like the riverbank may hold space for the river to run. It actually creates space for the feminine essence to run strong. And in this way, we actually redefine what protection really is in the first place. And I see it as coming from not having to be as deeply enamored with fear, means we don't need to be as deeply enamored with protection. As we release what we're deeply enamored about or with in these ways, it actually creates more space for you to come more into contact with what you might truly be enamored with that's underneath all of the protection layers. I see the right side of the heart radiating that consciousness of harmony all the way through to the right side of the body, all the way through to that masculine side of the body. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a few slow, deep breaths. The pancreas is connected to the spleen meridian. The spleen going into the neck along with the stomach. We're working now with the back of the neck specifically. I see almost like arthritic levels of rigidity. Okay. And it's holding on to, actually, before I get that, it's creating, and I see it actually radiating down through the spine all the way into the low back. And it's creating this sense of there's no room to actually even like get an inhale in, or there it's limiting the spaciousness within the breath. And it's almost like afraid to take in something else. Got it. So there's actually like a fear of overwhelm. Fear of overwhelm. which is actually saying to the lungs and the breath, stop taking anything else in. And that's showing up in the breath. For some of you, that might be a shallow breath. For some of you, that might be a congested breath. Or it might just feel like your whole body gets kind of rigid and you can't quite breathe fully the way that you wanted to. And rigidity sometimes makes us think that things are like so stiff because they're hypertonic. But in this case, there's actually hypo, it's actually low tone, which is underneath this, which has created the protective layers of being overly rigid. Put another way, what's underneath the rigidity is something that doesn't seem like it can be held together, something that's really kind of just like sprawling and collapsed. There's some apathy here. And it carries the voice of, don't bother, just give up. What are you doing? Just roll over, play dead. It's too painful to attempt to get your needs met. Just stop. If I could sum it up with a word or a phrase, self-suppression. All the ways that you've rigidly controlled yourself because it was too hard to get what you really needed. So there was a false persona. Like we all have, every human has this, that developed a mask that came up. Some of us have it more than others, especially if you're in the neural complex side of life. And the masking then just perpetuated that story, that illusion, and kept you even more separate from you. So it worked seemingly for the short term to get your needs met, yet there's something else deeper underneath this all. And as we release the holdings, the pinnings of where this mask is held, it's coming off of the base of your left neck, going into the middle of the left collarbone. The back of the right shoulder. Going all the way down the spine, including the head brain. It's also coming off of that pancreas. In particular, on that right-hand side, right where the sphincter enters that small intestine. And it's also coming off of the blood vessels that run on the left-hand side and the midline just to the left of the center line. And that I'm blanking a little bit if that's the aorta or the inferior vena cava. So it's either the big vein or the big artery, possibly both, as we work with those structures. And we're actually just simply releasing. Oh, this is why it's coming up. It's kind of both, even if it's not quite anatomically accurate on the left-hand side. It's releasing weariness, fatigue, exhaustion from having to keep this whole cycle going. That was creating the illusion of harmony, but wasn't giving you true harmony. So we're just simply unhooking what I'm going to refer to as the illusion of harmony. False harmony, which then led to the collapse of really the entire upper body, which was just like, mwah, with those blood vessels. The big blood vessels, they're huge. So they have not quite their own musculature, so to speak, but the muscles around them began to support the body in collapsing in that way to protect. I'm not exactly sure what's coming up this way, but we're unhooking the consciousness of the vulnerability of times in which you felt lost within yourself. So maybe there was times in which you felt really like the rug got pulled out from underneath you, or maybe you even went through a period of psychosis of some sort, mild, severe, anything in between. And there was a sense of not being fully connected or being fully in touch with the resources that you wanted to be in touch with inside of yourself. And that led to a certain type of panic, a certain type of. It's a cross between terror and paranoia. It's a cross between terror and paranoia. Okay. And as we unhook that, I actually see it, the solar plexus chakra coming into that midsection. And it carries a sense of power. And that includes empowerment, self-empowerment. And its capacity, its power is actually fueled by its capacity to digest. And there's a sense of like, I've been through tougher times. Or maybe not tougher, but I've been through tough times and I get to digest what's here. I know how to do that. And that wisdom of how to navigate previously challenging times, we're drawing upon that here and now. And interestingly enough, this is all linking back very close to where we began, which is again that kosha, that red thread, that division between soul and spirit, which is. Like all these concepts are metaphorical and arbitrary, and we're pointing to them. And as we support the system in finding a sense of power, I see the connection, the space between soul and spirit, that division that's held by this red thread, begin to get a little bit smaller, a little bit shorter. Begins to come closer together. And there may even be an ache for it to come even closer together. And that's an ache you can trust. That's an ache you can lean into. That's an ache that you can use as guidance to support that journey even further. We're running a cellular repair for the liver and the space between the old ending. And the new cycle beginning, which is that lung. So the transition point energetically between liver and lung. As you run a cellular repair on this, restoring these energy patterns back to their fullest potential of health. It's working with the transition of death into the new. Death into something different. In a way that we get to actually welcome death, for it allows us to rest in peace, and we get to rest in peace in new beginnings. I know, kind of a radical concept. So as we rest in peace, and for whatever reason, that's linking into the throat chakra. And we're just simply running the permissions. Your expression, your voice matters. Your expression, your voice matters. And I see that voice beginning to almost like twists and twerks through the connective tissue as they unwind and as they release. The voice begins to expand. The voice begins to carry a certain gravitas. Without necessarily having to raise your volume. And it's fueled by, it's looking like it's coming from, your own sense of self-acceptance. And that self-acceptance begins to fuel that voice to carry the weight of what you wish to express and have it be accurately delivered. How it gets perceived is out of our hands, but as long as you're content with its delivery, that's what we get to. Steward well in our capacities. running lymphatic drainage through the region of your entire throat chakra, including the back of the neck, which we're working with the energy of the spleen and the pancreas, and the front of the neck, which carries more of the energy of the stomach, as well as going into even the sides of the neck, carrying our stability, carrying our containments, like riverbanks, allowing for the river to pour through in all the ways that she so chooses. Circulating that consciousness of expression through to the rest of the system. All the other chakras get to express their harmony, their power, their creativity, their grounding, their intuition, their transcendence. And I see the internal column of all the chakras aligns. There's almost like a just a little bit of wear and tear on the chakra pole, so to speak, the Taji pole, which is really, I'm taking liberty with that introduction, that concept. But as the Taji pole is the meeting point between the chakras and the meridians, in particular the liver and the kidney are the strongest ones. But coming back to the central chakra channel column, there's a bit of wear and tear on it. Almost like the bark of a tree got a little bit worn in some areas. We need to do an emotional release of sadness from almost like we can physicalize this, the external circumference and surface of that pole, of that column. And then I'm not clear on why this is coming up this way. And I hear the words, I'm much like a permission statement. I penetrate my own consciousness. I penetrate my own consciousness. And this is, forgive me if this is not quite up your alley, but I'm going to connect that into the sexual realm a little bit. And I see the crown, pardon me, the whole entire chakra column at the top of it, the crown, being the equivalent to the male member, the penis. And I'm seeing the limbic brain, the emotional brain, become like a receptive vesicle, a receptive vessel, there we go, like the entrance into the womb space. The vagina. And as we see, as I see this, maybe you're seeing it too now after those descriptions, I'm seeing this literally connect in a way that allows for the masculine and the feminine to come into alignment. And as can happen biologically, we have the potential to create babies in that way. And I see this alignment, this connection, as bringing in that creative potential. To sprinkle into the universe whatever it is you're manifesting, to sprinkle into the universe whatever that new thing is that you're stepping into, and to birth endlessly through these cycles in these ways, so that you get to forevermore give birth to that which you are carrying inside of you, so you can forevermore birth your creations into this world. And with that, I see the storm clouds at the very center of the crown of the head begin to pass in different directions. They're floating around, they're moving around, and they went from being very grace, blueskin, to colorful tonalities. I see the brain fog that I was carrying on the illusion that was inherent within it beginning to spread, beginning to thin out and beginning to disperse in ways that open up some pockets of connection. So you can see through the storm clouds, the underlying sun that's attempting to shine through. As that sun enters you through the very crown of you and radiates all the way through the column, it's like you're blessed by your own creations. You're blessed by your own creations, which is meant to be the cycle of life that we potentially just got really confused by. All is to sum up to say, if we could take everything that we've done in this session and link it into permission statements, the words are, it's safe again to be here. It's safe again to be here. It's safe again to be here. And then we're linking that into the parts of you that you may be consciously aware of or might be subconsciously happening or maybe simply ancestral that have at times wished to not be here. And most of the times that's referring to not really a desire to not be here, but referring for the desire for something to end. Which is actually meant to be part of this, being able to endlessly bless yourself with your creations. It's actually meant to also supportively allow for the new to be created, to allow for that old pattern that's no longer serving you to disperse, that old pattern to end. And we can get stuck. I'm sure I'm the poster child of this one, in senses of feeling kind of powerless, senses of feeling like we can't actually create that change. And then it becomes this reinforced purgatory. And that sense of despair, hopelessness, depression, apathy, the sense of powerlessness to do anything, helplessness for it to go anywhere, for anything to be different, for anything to change, begins to potentially even like loop and close in on itself, so you're sure that this is the way that you are. And it becomes your story that you've made personal, and it becomes your own personal purgatory that you loop inside of, and you replicate through, and you replicate into different areas of life. And that pattern, we're going to address with a Sidri. It's in that myelin sheath, and we're working with it for the next 7 weeks. It's like it goes right into the end of this round, which I think is really cool timing. And for all of you, it's going to be stored in different parts of your body. For me, I can feel it strongly in left neck, all the way down through to left shoulder blade, wrapped around my shoulder into the left side of my heart. I can feel that replicated to the right side, but it's fainter. It's fainter, but it's still there. And it's might be in those areas for you. This might be like it is for me around how does I carry myself and how does I express in this world. And for since it's coming up that way, and if you can relate to that, know that that's likely quite accurate for you. If you're, however, you're feeling it really strongly in some other area of your body, then trust that and lean into that. So I can see a few different habit, pardon me, I see a few different energetic tensions around that. The one that I feel in my own body, just in case I'm running the risk of projecting that onto you, we're going to account for those other areas that I see. In particular, I see holdings and wrappings around the diaphragm. And I see the same thing in the base of the thoracic, pardon me, the base of the lumbar spine, going down into the pelvic bowl, as well as I see another version of it down the lower legs and wraps into the feet. So I'm seeing this sequentially downward through the body. And as we work with it, it might actually, to a degree, be working on all four for some of you that may have all four. The Sidri, starting with C, circulation of all those same healing resources that we worked with earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, the chi, the consciousness, the electrons, protons, solutons, neutrons. working with the endorphins, hormones, endocannabinoids, the yin, the yang, the hydration, and all the different consciousness states that they carry. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. We may think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. We're going to link all of that into the heart, consciousness of harmony. We're going to tap that all out here. So I invite you to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And feel free to even make a little bit of sound into any areas of those bodies that feel like they might need a little extra support for this to really link into. Starting here. That sound might carry ah, giving that a slow, deep breath, calling in that resource that you touched in earlier. I've got a song just under 3 minutes. The name is called Healing Song 9, which is from the album Healing and Peyote Songs. And it's by Verdell Primeau and a few other artists. I'll share it here as well in the chat feature. So I invite you just to simply drink this in, breathe, and be with all that's here.
Ne lumi yonon
Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah. Om. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day, y'all. And you're most welcome. Thank you, everyone. I'm excited to see where it takes us over the next 7 weeks, too. We're in interesting astrological weather and interesting current events alike, so anything could happen. Let's keep in touch around it all. And thank you for your those of you who sent messages in. You've received the survey for the upcoming next year for Buddhas and Butterflies. So that was sent to you by email yesterday. And I've asked for survey responses to happen in a shorter time frame by this Saturday. So if you could get that to me this Saturday, it's one question. And you can access it all off of the Facebook group or from your email, either which way. And I'm so curious to see where we're going to head into next year. So thank you, everyone, for all that you are offering with your presence in this group. It is so deeply valuable, and I appreciate all your contributions. So, mwah. Blessings on the rest of your day, y'all. I'm going to stop the recording, and if anybody needs any additional support,